Good morning. This is Dan Kowalski with the LexisNexis Immigration Podcast. I'm the editor of Bender's Immigration Bulletin, published by LexisNexis. It's Tuesday, November 25th, 2014. Joining me today is Stephen Yale Lair of counsel at Miller Mayer in Ithaca, New York, and an immigration law professor at Cornell. Steve is the co-author of Immigration Law and Procedure, the 20-volume Bible of Immigration Law. He's also signatory to an important letter we'll talk about later in the podcast. Steve, last Thursday, the president made a very important announcement about immigration. It's getting a lot of news, a lot of controversy about it. What exactly did the president announce last Thursday?
Hey, Dan. Actually, the president made a series of announcements to try to reform our broken immigration system as well as he could within the executive bounds that he had. Just to highlight some of the more important things, one is he announced a new deferred action program for parents who have U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident children in the United States. If they've been here for more than 5 years and have not committed any serious crimes, they will be able to apply for a new program called DAPA, Deferred Action for Parent Accountability, that will allow them to get a reprieve from immigration, from deportation for 3 years and also a work permit. The president also announced an expansion of the existing DACA program, DACA meaning Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. The existing program had an age cutoff of 31, and the person had to be here before 2007. The expansion of the DACA program no longer contains the age cap, and now the people have to have arrived in the United States before January 1, 2010. The combination of those two deferred action programs should benefit up to about 4.5 million people, according to the White House. In addition, the president announced that he is going to prioritize who we target for removal from the United States, going after primarily criminal aliens. As the president called it, we should be deporting felons, not families. And he announced a series of legal immigration reforms, and we'll talk more about those in a couple of minutes.
Now, Steve, some of our listeners may be attorneys, others not. Some people in the press have used the phrase executive order, but this announcement really encompassed a series of memos from the Department of Homeland Security as opposed to a true executive order, correct?
That's correct. There are about 10 memos issued by the Department of Labor and the Department of Homeland Security that cover a variety of issues. Because they're all issued by the executive branch, they are executive actions, but there's no executive order per se that the president signed. He did sign two presidential memoranda, one on setting up a task force on how to revise our immigration system, and the other on trying to promote integration of newly naturalized Americans.
You mentioned the expansion of DACA, D-A-C-A, and the announcement or implementation of the coming DAPA, D-A-P-A. Which one is happening sooner?
The expansion of DACA will be happening sooner because the existing DACA program already exists. And so the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services estimates that it will be able to take new applications for the expanded DACA program in about 90 days. By contrast, the Deferred Action for Parent Accountability, DAPA, will take longer to get off the ground, and USCIS estimates that it will begin accepting those applications within 180 days, or about mid-May of 2015.
And by the way, everything that USCIS does is user fee funded, is that correct?
Absolutely. And so USCIS estimates that it will cost between $450 and $500 for people to apply for either expanded DACA or the DAPA process.
And then later, say in the spring or summer, what is going to happen with respect to the other announcements?
Well, the president also wants to try to reform our legal immigration system as much as he can through executive action. And so he's announced a series of things that he's instructed USCIS to do. Most of these will require rulemaking, and therefore they won't be implemented anytime soon. But, for example, one thing that already has been started is employment authorization for H-4s. H-4s are the spouses of temporary visa holders in H-1B status. Currently, they're not allowed to work, and the immigration agency has already come out with a proposed rule to allow them to work, and it's expected that under this new executive action, the final will be published in the next month or so. More importantly, on legal immigration, the DHS has instructed USCIS to modernize the system by trying to use up all available visa numbers. The State Department can't use every visa number every year, and so they hope that they can recapture some numbers that have gone unused in prior years. They also hope that they can do something to help people who are stuck in visa backlogs. Right now, if you start the immigrant visa process, but then the visa category gets backlogged, you may have to wait several years, and in the meantime, it can be hard to get work authorization. The new proposal, once it goes through, would allow those people to apply for adjustment of status and be able to work while they're stuck in the backlog. Similarly, they hope to expand what's known as OPT, optional practical training, for foreign students and graduates from U.S. universities. Right now, there's a special kind of OPT for STEM graduates, STEM meaning science, technology, engineering, and math. And those people who fit on a STEM list can work for up to 27 months in the United States rather than the normal 12 months for other kinds of optional practical training graduates. The directive to USCIS instructs the agency to try to figure out ways that more people can qualify for this longer optional practical training period. Finally, the Department of Labor is supposed to look at the current system for determining whether companies can hire foreign workers. That program, known as Labor Certification or PERM, has been in existence for 10 years, and the Department of Labor will see if it can be modernized to make it a little more efficient so the companies don't have to wait so long to get their labor certifications approved. So there's a lot happening on the legal immigration side, but because it's going to involve rulemaking, it'll take some time to implement.
There's been a lot of controversy about the legality of these executive actions. Today, in the Associated Press, a letter signed by over 100 law professors, including yourself, was published. Can you talk about that letter and the legality of the president's actions?
Sure. There are two bases for holding that the president's actions are legal. Number one, every president has what's called prosecutorial discretion. There's no way that any president could actually deport all estimated 11 million people who are here illegally, and so they need to prioritize. And the president decided that we're going to prioritize by going after criminal aliens and not deport people who have ties to the United States through children who are either U.S. citizens or lawful permanent residents. That's the basis for the Deferred Action Program. Second, every president in the last 50 years has exercised some kind of deferred action or other kind of immigration action, and the courts have recognized the legality of those because immigration touches on issues such as sovereignty and foreign relations, and courts do not like to second guess what the executive branch does on immigration. So because of that deference, the president has more latitude when it comes to executive actions on immigration than they may in other areas. Both those things really justify what President Obama did last week.
And before we conclude, how is this going to affect the work or workload of immigration lawyers?
Well, to me, this is the biggest thing that has happened to immigration lawyers since the original legalization program in 1986. Then we had about 3 million people who applied for legalization. Now we've got 4.5 to 5 million people who will be able to apply for some kind of benefit. They're not going to legalize their status. They're not on a path to citizenship, but they will be able to get a reprieve from deportation and get a work permit, and they will need assistance in doing that. And so it's a little early for anyone to actually file. We have to wait for the agencies to come out with the forms, et cetera. But lawyers can counsel their clients to start collecting the documents that will be able to prove, for example, that they have been in the United States for at least the last 5 years. There's a lot that lawyers will do over the next 6 months to a year, and so we're all going to be quite busy.
Thank you, Steve. I've been joined today by Professor Steve Yalair, the co-author of Immigration Law and Procedure, published by LexisNexis. For more on this issue, stay tuned to LexisNexis, the immigration law community. Go to bibdaily.com and watch this space for more articles and more podcasts. Thank you very much. Okay, Tracy.